Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency, all things homesteading, and about how we can reduce the gap between our consumption and our production. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 338 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. It's been a really glorious period weather-wise here in the UK. So if you're in the UK, I hope you've been enjoying it as much as I have. And we've finally got our garden planted here at our new home. And it's only dawned on me since we've got the garden planted how dry it's been. It's funny how when you're not growing plants, you're sort of disconnected a little bit from the weather or less in tune with it. And all of a sudden, I'm desperately checking the weather every couple of hours to see when the next rain might come. But isn't it strange how I hadn't really thought about the weather other than just enjoying the glorious sunshine that we've been having? Anyway, that is not the topic of today's show. Today, we are continuing our Back to Basics series, and we're going to be going through some really simple homestead kitchen projects that anyone can try. It's a sort of extension from my Have a Go Homesteader series, where I did all sorts of new things that I tried out on YouTube on my Have a Go Homesteader series, and I'll be doing more of those things in the future. But what I want to do is strip that back even more and get some really simple things that anyone can do, because sometimes we find ourselves in a position where we're not really sure what we should do next, and or we've run out of ideas, we're looking for inspiration. So these are 10 really, really simple kitchen homestead ideas that anyone can do, so you can feel like you're a homesteader. You can do it with any type of space. You can go that little bit beyond. I mean, I'm taking it as a given that if you're listening to this show, you're already growing some of your own food. And if you're not a vegan, you're probably already raising your own eggs and things like that. So we're not going to touch on those things, although I am next week going to do a garden projects ideas list that we can do. But today we're going to be doing in the kitchen, and like I say, they're all really, really simple. Before we get into our list, we're going to go through 10 things. Just a quick mention that this Friday we will be giving away the Gardening Hints and Tips book by Pippa Greenwood. More than 2,000 ingenious solutions to everyday problems in and around the garden. It's a great little book. It's got topics such as restoring gardens, container gardening, pests and diseases, water features, propagating plants, all those kinds of things. A gardener's diary. There's loads of really great useful sections in here. It's a really interesting book. I've read it a few times and it's ready to be rehomed. So that will be given away to a lucky patron on Friday. If you'd like to be included in that draw, you know what to do by now. You just go to patreon.com and consider becoming a patron of the show. Right, into the meat of today's podcast, and that is 10 simple homestead kitchen projects that anyone can try. Number one on our list is to bake a loaf of bread, perhaps sourdough. This is really down to you and your preference. And, you know, you can take all of these ideas as far as you like. So if you, as we go through this list, if you are an accomplished homesteader already doing a lot of these things, then there's probably somewhere that you can stretch your ideas out a little bit further from whatever we're mentioning. So number one, but again, I'm focusing the base level is something that anyone can try today. They can go out and do this either with stuff they've got on hand or it's stuff that's easy to get hold of. So bake a loaf of bread. If you've never baked a loaf of bread, you really need to do that. And if you've already baked bread, but you've never baked sourdough, then maybe bake a loaf of sourdough. I am a massive advocate of sourdough bread. That there's a few reasons. Obviously, the just taste of the bread is fantastic. My family love it. But one of the main reasons I personally am a massive fan of sourdough is because it's a one ingredient bread. You're only using flour. So flour is something you can obviously stock up for long-term storage. And if all the shops shut tomorrow, you only had flour on hand, you can carry on baking bread until that flour runs out. And it's something you can store for a long time. So that's why I personally love sourdough more than other types of bread baking. But whatever it is you choose to do, you can get on and bake a loaf of bread and feed your family. So you could even, if you don't have a sourdough starter, you can make your own sourdough starter. It's really, really easy to do. I've done YouTube videos on all of these things. To make your own sourdough starter is so, so simple, and you can go online and find some easy methods to do it, or of course check out my video on the topic. Make your own starter, and again, the only ingredient you need is flour and some regular water that we all have. So that's number one on our simple homestead kitchen projects list: bake some bread. Number two is to make cottage cheese. Now, again, if you're already familiar with this, then stretch yourself and make some different cheeses that you've not made before. But anyone can make some cottage cheese, and you can almost certainly do it with ingredients you already have in your house. It was the first cheese I ever made, and it did give me this huge sense of satisfaction. It wasn't the cheese that we go on and carried on making for a very long time, because we developed different practices and developed different skills that enabled us to make fancier cheeses, which we enjoyed even more. But that didn't take away that sense of achievement the first time I ever made cheese, which was a simple cottage cheese, sometimes called a farm cheese. And all you need for this, believe it or not, is some milk and just a little bit of vinegar. It's the simplest thing in the world to do. So please do go and check out a recipe and follow the recipe. But really, simply speaking, all you do is you heat some cheese in a pan and you add a little bit of vinegar, and that's going to almost instantly separate the curds and whey. Now, it's not going to do it in the same way that using cultures will. If you want a more cultured cheese, obviously you'll have to go a few steps further in your cheese making. But the point is, you can make cottage cheese today, this evening, and it's going to take you about an hour, and you will get cheese at the end of it. Because just by adding that vinegar into the cheese, into the milk rather, what's going to happen is it's going to curdle, and we get that the word curdle. The first part of it is curds, because what that means is it's going to separate the curds out. You'll have curds and whey, and you can strain that through a cheesecloth, keep your curds, and turn that into your cottage cheese. Just add a little bit of salt to it, and away you go. And cottage cheese is delicious. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. It's something that has been done for thousands of years and is great just on some crackers, bit of salad, cottage cheese, away you go. But the main point of this is, anyone can do it. If you've never made any type of cheese before, you can have a go at making some cottage cheese. It's super, super simple. Number three on our list of simple homestead kitchen projects is to plan and make a meal that is 100% homegrown. Now, you might not be able to do this today, but what you can do is start the planning and the thinking about it, because it's sounds simple. If you're growing your own vegetables, it sounds really, really simple. But when you get down into it and really look under the hood of the nuts and bolts of what goes into a meal, and you start thinking of things like, you know what I'm going to say, salt, then all of a sudden, perhaps it's not as simple as you thought. Now, of course, this is really going to depend on where you're at in your journey, in your self-sufficiency journey. But I bet you could make a homemade meal that is 100% homegrown. Perhaps a boiled egg salad. That works. Whatever it might be, you know, you could do scrambled eggs on sourdough toast if you're able to produce your own flour. But whatever it might be, try and plan and make a meal at some point this year, but you can start the planning right now, that is 100% homegrown. If you're lucky enough to have access to milking goats, you might have cheese on a jacket potato. That sounds great to me. But there's you're limited only by your imagination. But the idea is to sit down and make a plan and really go through every single ingredient on that plate and think, can I produce that myself? So that's number three. On to number four, which is linked very closely, and that is to make your own salt. Now, this will require, for it to be a simple project, and the way I do it, will require a trip to the coast. So if you live in the UK, you are never more than 70 miles from the coast, something I quite often talk about. So if you're going to the coast soon, try and plan that around picking up a bit of seawater to create your own salt. You don't have to have very much at all. And it's a great project. It's something I've spoken about before several times on the show. Great little project for you to do yourself. Just get some clean seawater and filter it and then boil it down into the salt. You'll be amazed how much you get. And of course, that ties very nicely into making a meal that is 100% home produced. So making your own salt is a great little project. Everyone should do it once. If you live elsewhere in the world and perhaps the coast is a little bit less attainable for you to go and make a visit, then I'm not sure how I can help you, I'm afraid, with that particular item. Moving on, make some homemade tea. Now, it doesn't have to be tea from the tea plant, Camellia sinensis. It can be herbal tea. It could be a mint tea. So we've usually, most of us, I imagine, have got some mint or some other herbs growing in our garden, perhaps some chamomile, that we can make our own tea from. And even if we don't, we can go out and forage things to make our own tea. Nettle tea, I actually really enjoy. Perhaps cleaver tea, if you're familiar with sticky weed, the goosegrass, cleavers, that makes a lovely tea. There's all sorts of wild herbs that are really easy to forage, really easy to identify, that make fantastic tea. Perhaps pine needle tea is one you can go out and forage the ingredients for. But whatever you go for, like I say, there's lots of choice. Go out and find yourself something to make your own tea from. Next up, number 6 on our list, is to make homemade pasta. Now, homemade pasta is something I put off for the longest time because for some reason it was daunting to me. In my head, I've no idea why, it was really daunting. And then as soon as I tried it, I realised how simple it was. It really, really was one of the simplest things to do in the kitchen. And all you need is some flour and an egg. Now, of course, you can buy pasta flour, but I have to say, to be perfectly honest, I don't think there's a big difference between just regular plain flour and pasta flour in terms of my eating experience. I certainly didn't notice much of a difference. So just some pasta and some egg. You can even do it without eggs and just use water, but it's the easiest thing in the world. Again, I've done videos on this on YouTube, but there's hundreds of thousands of recipes online for making homemade pasta. So find one that you like and get and have a go. It is literally as simple as just mixing some egg and some flour together, kneading them for a bit, and then rolling them really, really thin. If you don't have a pasta maker, which if you've never made pasta before, you probably don't, you can do it just using a rolling pin and a knife to cut them into tagliatelle. Or if you get a pasta making machine, obviously that makes it so much simpler. And if making pasta is something you've done lots of times and perhaps you haven't done it for a little while, then maybe get back into the habit. Just give it another go. It's really rewarding. And honestly, I think it tastes better. The cooking process is slightly different. You don't boil it for as long, but it's just amazing. And of course, you can dry it and save it. It's another great, great thing that we can do at home to reconnect with the food production, reconnect with producing our own food rather than buying pasta. It's one of those things that we buy usually that we can make ourselves. So if you've never made pasta before, make some pasta. It's rewarding, it's tasty, and it's simple. And if you do make pasta, you make pasta all the time, then maybe stretch yourself and go for a recipe you've not tried before. If you've never made ravioli, make some ravioli, whatever it might be. So that's number 6. Number 7 is to preserve by drying some herbs. So one of the things we've got in our lovely new kitchen that we're incredibly fond of, we've got this beautiful set of shelves that I've built, and if I do say so myself, and on there we've got loads of mason jars with beautiful things in that we've preserved. So among them are some dried herbs. It's really, really easy to dry herbs. Drying is one of my favourite preservation methods because of how simple it is. If you have a dehydrator, it makes it even simpler. But if you're in the UK at the moment, you're getting the sort of weather we're getting, you can do it just using the sun by hanging these herbs upside down, putting them on some cotton, on a string of cotton, just hanging them in the sun. You can hang them over a radiator if you're somewhere that's using, somewhere that's having your house heated at the moment in the southern hemisphere. Perhaps you can use your oven with the door open a crack on its lowest setting. And herbs are one of the easiest things to dry. They dry really, really quickly. If you are in the UK, now is the perfect time of year to go out and be harvesting wild garlic, which you can then dry and save for the rest of the year. So dry some herbs and preserve them for the rest of the year. And if you're not into foraging, if you're not going to go for the wild garlic, then you can harvest some herbs from your own garden. But having these things preserved on the shelf for use in the winter and through the rest of the year is a great homesteading piece of something in the homesteader's arsenal, is this idea of preserving things for when they're out of season. So definitely, definitely be drying herbs. And now is a perfect time of year to do it, because later in the season, even if you do dry, but you don't normally dry herbs this time of year, later in the season, you'll be drying all sorts of other things. And certainly in our household anyway, the herbs tend to get pushed a bit further down the list when we're busy trying to preserve other things, whether it's tomatoes or beans or whatever it might be, then the herbs can get pushed a little bit down the list. So definitely now is a great time to be preserving those herbs. Number 8 is to use something foraged, eat something foraged, preserve something foraged. Now, this has been touched on by a few of our other items here. So you could consider it foraged if you're making your own salt from the seawater. You can use a foraged item to make the tea we were talking about, and of course the herbs that you might be trying. But if you are not using a foraged item for those things, then go and forage something anyway and use it in your cooking. Use it to preserve for later, whatever it might be. This is a great time of year, the early summer. There's loads and loads of wild edibles out there, far too many for me to list. I ran a course on Sunday and we must have found, I don't know, 30 different wild edible species in a short walk. We probably covered about a mile. And like I say, we found 30 different wild edible species, from common hogweed to wild chervil to vetch, wild peas. There was so much around. Wild garlic, garlic mustard, all of these things are out there. So go and get some. And I haven't even mentioned the really ubiquitous ones we all know about. Nettles, cleavers, all these things. They're all out there right now. So you can definitely go and be foraging something and then using that in your kitchen. And there's not a lot that connects you to the seasonality of what grows around us more than foraging, I don't think. Number 9, and more firmly back in the kitchen now, make some yogurt. Yogurt making is another really, really simple skill that we can learn as homesteaders. Now, of course, if you're milking a goat or milking a cow, then so much the better. But even if you're not, like I'm not at the moment, we can still buy, rather than buying yogurt, we can just buy milk and we can use that to make yogurt. Again, it's a really simple homestead project. To describe it in its simplest terms, basically all you need to do is go and buy one pot of live yogurt, really important that it's live yogurt, from the shop, along with some milk. And you can basically use that live yogurt to turn that milk into more yogurt. I know, crazy, isn't it? But that's as simple as it's as simple as it sounds, and as great as it sounds. Because basically what that live yogurt is it is a huge piece of teeming with life culture. And you can use that to basically impregnate your milk, and that bacteria will then grow and will expand and will turn that milk into yogurt. You can do it in your fridge over a few days. You can do it using a yogurt maker, as I do here. It's one of the simplest things that you can do. And then you just add some compote to it, or whatever flavoring you wish, or leave it as it is. But yeah, homemade yogurt is an absolutely fantastic homestead skill that we can all do. It's really, really simple. And that was number 9. Number 10, the last one on my list, is to ferment something. So again, you can get as wild and wacky as you want with this. You can start with something really, really simple like sauerkraut, or you can get into your kombuchas and things of that nature. There is no end to the list of things that you can ferment. If you are a fermenter, a regular fermenter, and you've never tried kimchi, then perhaps give kimchi a go. If you've never had water kefir or milk kefir, you can reach out in that direction. But if you are not a regular fermenter, and if you're starting from ground zero, then I would recommend that you start with sauerkraut, because it's one of the easiest things to do. And again, there's, you know, find a recipe, follow the instructions. It's really, really simple, but really basically speaking, all you're going to need is some cabbage and some salt. And you basically cut that cabbage into really fine strips and then massage some salt into it. And the cabbage will start to sweat and it'll give off so much moisture that when you pack it into a kilner jar and push the cabbage down, there'll be so much moisture that that moisture will literally cover all of that cabbage. It's a great way of preserving cabbage, because it also is going to keep that cabbage lovely and firm and have that texture, that crunchiness later on. But also it's great for flavor. I'm a very, very late convert to fermented vegetables. I have to say, it's not something that I really enjoyed. And even as recently as sort of 3 or 4 years ago, the thought of some sauerkraut on my plate was a real turn off to me. I really, really didn't enjoy it. But what I've done is I've exposed myself to it several times. I've tried a little bit of it several times and I've done a complete 180 on it. And I actually really, really enjoy it now. And I can tell that in the future, it's going to be one of those things, much like chili, that I really crave and enjoy. I'm moving in that direction. So it is one of those foodstuffs that if you've not been exposed to it very much, then it might seem a little bit off-putting, the flavour and what have you. But by exposing yourself to it over a period of time, it can become something that you really, really enjoy. And you might say, well, why would I want to do that? You know, there's loads of things I enjoy. Well, for me, the main reason was because fermenting is such a great option for preserving. And if I can start to sort of increase the things that I really enjoy eating to include things that are really great ways for me to preserve my produce, then that's a win-win. So yeah, ferment something and start with sauerkraut and stretch yourself and spread your wings a little bit. If fermenting is old hat to you, there's still lots of things that you can do. So there you go. That is 10 simple homestead kitchen projects that anyone can try. Number one, bake some bread. Number two, make some cheese. Number three, plan and make a meal that's 100% homegrown. Number four, make your own salt. Number five, make a homemade tea. Number six, make pasta. Number seven, dry some herbs. Number eight, used something foraged. Number nine, make yogurt. And number 10, ferment something. I think that's a great list. And I think, honestly, every single one of you, I'm talking to you, just you now, dear listener, you can do everything on this list. And not only can you do it, but you will thoroughly enjoy doing it. And you'll look back on it with a real sense of accomplishment. If there's only one thing on this list you've never done before, then focus on that. If you haven't done any of them, then get a pen and paper, skip back a few seconds, write that list down and have a go at all of them. They're great little projects, really enjoyable, really fun. You can involve the kids, involve the family. And for me, these type of things, these type of projects on what being a homesteader is all about. There you go. Get on and tick off some of these things on your list. I hope you've enjoyed that. I hope you've gained some inspiration from it. And next Monday, we're going to be doing a list of 10 garden or outside projects that anyone can try. Thanks for listening, everyone. And again, just a reminder, we'll be giving away that Gardening Hints and Tips book on Friday to a current patron of the show. Thanks for listening. Speak to you soon. Cheers. This episode of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast was brought to you by our patrons. You guys are awesome. If you'd like to support the show, there's lots of ways you can do it. The easiest of which is just to like and review it wherever you get our podcasts. You can also tell somebody about it, whether that's on social media or just face to face with a friend who you think might benefit from it. But however you support our podcast, we really, really appreciate it. If you'd like to become a patron, please consider doing so by going to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, it's listeners like you that make all of this possible. Thank you ever so much for listening, and I'll speak to you really soon.